Jason Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. We're live at Tennessee Brew Works. Here we go. We love Elvis. We love our next guest. He's a friend of the show, Brian Bates, the very funny Brian Bates. You've heard him on the Nate Land podcast, and he's going to be at the Lab at Zany's coming up starting on Sunday, which you can still get tickets to that show at 6:30, and then he's going to be having a special taping at the Lab on Monday. That show is sold out.
It is.
But Brian joins us now. Well, congratulations on the sellout. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. I, a lot of friends and family rallied around me to buy those tickets.
So, does it matter?
Without giving everything away, what can people expect if they're going to this taping?
Well, it's a half hour, which studies have showed that people's attention span less and less. So it used to be all stand-up comics did an hour special, and some still do, but there's more and more half-hour specials. There's 15-minute specials out there just because people often won't take the time to sit there and watch an hour special. So it's a half-hour special. It's going to be on the Nate Land Network. You guys are familiar with Nate Bargatze, of course, and Nate.
We've heard of him.
Yeah.
And, he's doing okay.
Yeah, he's doing all right. So Nate has graciously agreed to film this special for me and put it out on his platform, so I'm really excited.
That's fantastic.
Does he still answer when you call, or is it now he just, you know?
Should we try?
Let's try.
Is this your first special?
Yes. Well, I've done a couple of Dry Bar comedy specials. I don't know if you're familiar with Dry Bar or not.
I am, but tell people what that is.
It's clean comedy. These are shot in Provo, Utah, and it's just all clean comedians. And those are also 20 to 30-minute specials. And some of them have really, really made comics career.
You know,
they've got millions of views. Not mine, but I have done a Dry Bar comedy special, but it's been a few years, so this will be my first one other than that.
Well, that's great. Do you do anything? So I know you got the cameras there. Do you alter what you do at all, or are you just still, to you, it's still a stand-up?
It's still a stand-up. Now, very often stand-up comics for specials will shoot two in the same night, and then they'll edit together the best, you know, material. I'm not doing that. We're just doing one shot, so what it is what it is. But if I were to mess up, if I were to flub, if a drink falls off a table, they'll say, let's just reshoot that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's how it's different. We could be doing some retakes, which is weird for a live stand-up comedy show, but very often the crowd will get more into the second take. You know what I mean?
Sure.
They feel like they're in on something behind the scenes, so they'll get excited about it.
Have you practiced? I mean, do you?
All the time.
Okay.
I've been, you know, I was on the road this weekend and doing 30-minute sets all weekend. And I was at Zany's last night doing a set. I'm at the Grand Ole Opry this Saturday night.
Get it.
Awesome.
And then Sunday night is my big tune-up, my dress rehearsal, if you will. So that's at the Lab at Zany's. That show still has tickets available. So that's very important, too, because that's my trial run, and I need people to come out and support me to see what works and see what I need to take out.
I'm always curious. Brian Bates is with us. When you do a recorded special and, you know, like we've all listened to comedy albums and watched them on, you know, Netflix and stuff now, does it make you have to change some of your material because now it's on tape and now, like, you know, people can see it or hear it over and over again, or if the stuff really lands, you can just kind of tweak it and continue to use it?
Yeah, I think in my case, it's pretty much the same all the time. I know sometimes when comics go on like late night sets and things like that, if they talk about a particular brand, they may have to take that brand out and change it to a more generic name. I think Nate used to have a joke about Pep Boys.
Yeah.
And when he went on Tonight Show, they said you can't say Pep Boys and maybe change it to just something generic.
Yeah.
But for a special like this, I don't think I have anything that I'm going to have to alter.
Do you have an opening before the taping that is going to be to get the crowd warmed up?
Yeah, so.
Because Chase is free that night.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
I do want to talk about your comedy career. But so now we've started a new podcast since I've seen you guys.
Right.
Okay.
It's now the Public Figures Podcast. Nate's no longer on, but Dusty Slay and Aaron Weber and myself, we're carrying on the torch. Basically the same as Nate Land, just a different name. But Aaron and Dusty are going to open for me that night.
Oh,
and,
that's awesome.
Get out of here. That's great. Good for you.
Yeah, so they'll get the crowd going. Hopefully not too good. You never want to follow someone's honey badger,
right?
For your special.
To do that. You know, it's funny. I use you as an example all the time to people in life because people's excuse about not changing life, I'm too old. Yeah. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
When did you start your stand-up routine? It wasn't at 19 years old. How old were you when you said, I'm going to do this?
Well, I was 35 when I first even dipped my toe in the water. I took a stand-up comedy class at age 35 and then started going to some open mics.
Was that at Zany's?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was 43 when I quit my job at News Channel 5 and went full-time.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's great. And yeah. I love it because I'm doing this. And there was no fallback plan. Like, if I don't make it, I'm going to – you went and did it, and look at you now. I think it's you are a great story in this world of following your dreams.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, I think I said this last time I was here. At that time, I was single, so I thought, if I fail, I'll only be hurting myself. Now I'm married with a kid, so I better just keep working.
Right.
But it all worked out, so I feel very blessed.
Oh, that's great. Then the support, I mean, from your wife, I mean, do you run your jokes past her, or how's this work?
Yeah, usually I do. She's never, because I have a lot of jokes about her, and people always ask that. Oh. She has never said no to a joke about her. If she has, it's not because she's offended. She just thinks it may not work for another reason. And she's usually right. Like, it'll either come off as too mean or just something's not right there. So she's giving me feedback. Like, I don't know if I would say it like that, but she's never said, don't tell that. That's too mean.
You have one of your clips that went viral. It's got millions of views. You did an act at, was it at Zany's, but it was. Was it a black crowd that night?
Yes, yes.
I'm telling you, it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And they loved you. You loved them. How did that all come about?
So I think I know which one you're talking about. The one at the lab at Zany's?
It might have been before the lab.
Okay, because I have two versions out there.
I think it's the first one.
The first one. Okay. That was a few years ago. That was T.C. Cope, who's a very funny Nashville stand-up comic. He put on a monthly show, I think, at Zany's, and you know, he invited me to be on as the token white guy.
Yeah, right.
And I really played it up and played to the crowd, and you know, I come out like nervous, like I didn't even realize I was going to be the only white guy in the
right.
room, and I really played into it, and then just had some jokes that you know, went at them, so to speak.
It was great. The only bad part is, everybody's laughing so loud,
yeah.
It's hard to hear you. And that's what you want.
It is. Now, I wish I had a better quality video of that because the video's not that great. I'm thankful I even have anything of it. I went on YouTube and put in the closed captioning and even put in the title, click CC for closed captioning.
Right.
But still, nobody reads that. They're just like, I can't hear a thing. I can't understand it.
Right.
I wish I had a better quality version.
Oh, that's so good, though, man.
Thank you.
With your and obviously I know you and Nate are very close, and he's been super supportive as you have to him. But to have Aaron and Dusty to be willing to do that, to open for you and to help you, I mean, that's got to be really special because you guys have all kind of been on this journey together.
Yeah, absolutely. We're good friends on and off the podcast, and we have a constant text chain going all the time. So I'm honored that they want to do it, and I'm thrilled, and that'll get some excitement because most people who are fans of me are also fans of those guys.
Yeah.
So it's just going to make for a great night.
I think I've told this story before, but like 10 to 12 years ago, something like that, I went to a show at Zany's, and I could not tell you whose show it was, but mm-hmm. Dusty was the opener. And Dusty, I mean, this was like he was just kind of starting out, and I laughed my butt off.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was hilarious. And I went up to him after. I was like, hey, man, that was awesome. And we kind of got to know each other. And I was doing a Saturday morning show at the time. And I got Dusty to come in studio. He had, like, a burnt CD that he had made of his stuff. And now to kind of see, you know, what he's become has just been – and, you know, we've run into each other at times.
Yeah.
He at least pretends like he remembers me whenever I see him.
And
but
you don't remember the headliner?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think that was me.
No, it wasn't you.
Great job, Chase.
was somebody was in town. I mean, we had him on the show, or or something like that. Yeah. And I don't know if it was like a Ralphie May or somebody, but Dusty was just starting out and had opened up, and now all you guys are at this different level now, which is really cool.
I mean, Dusty's got two Netflix specials.
His bit that he does about Travis Tritt and breaking down the song.
Yeah.
Like, I played that for my girlfriend recently, and I was like, it's, and he probably would say that it's so dumb that it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so perfect.
Yeah. Nashville, I think I said this last time I was here, it's become a big hub for clean comedians.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And that's mainly because of Nate, but so many other comics that are doing really, really well, and they're clean.
Yeah.
Austin's developed this big comedy scene out there with Joe Rogan and Tony Hinchcliffe with Kill Tony, and there's a lot of great comics out there. But Nashville has developed like the big clean comedy scene, so it's just interesting.
Well, I mean, Kathleen Madigan, John Crist, Dusty, Aaron, and everybody is great. Brian Bates is with us. You're playing the Opry. What number time is this playing the Opry?
I think it's 16 or 17.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
When you do that, what's advice you give? Do you look at the crowd? Do you look at a certain section? Do you not look at the crowd at all? I mean, how do you, your body language when you're up on stage at the Opry? I couldn't imagine being up there.
Yeah, I try to look at the crowd. I try to, like, obviously not just, like, zone in on some lady and make her feel uncomfortable.
I do that all the time. Yeah.
Then I'm like, oh, man, I've been looking at her too long.
Right.
But I try to, like, spread around, and I try to remember, be in the moment, and even look up in the stands and things like that. I mean, not in the stand, you know what I mean, the upper deck and stuff. And I try to, I try not to, like, really focus on a person, but just kind of look in different directions.
Yeah. Yeah, what's that do when you're there? I mean, you got all these old Opry people come up. Hey, Brian, you're like, God, who is that guy? Because backstage, I've been back there one time.
Yeah,
it is wonderful because
there's a reason for that.
Billion
picture of him on the wall.
There's a billion people back there, and it's kind of tough to concentrate.
Yeah, yeah, we all have our own dressing room, but I don't venture out too much because I feel like I shouldn't even be there, you know what I mean? So I don't, like, go wandering trying to go into, you know, somebody's dressing room and hit it up. But you meet them. You know, it's all these old country guys like T. Graham Brown. He's on the show that I'm doing Saturday. And the Opry Square Dancers and just all that stuff.
Chase wants to be part of those. If you could arrange that, Brian. Do you have I know you have different – do you have different jokes for different audiences? Like, you came off a trip to Florida last week. Did you have different jokes there that you would not tell in the Opry and Opry jokes you tell down there or what?
Well, in that case, I was running my set that I'm doing for the special. So I pretty much stuck to that 30-minute set. And I'm a clean comic, so I don't have to – Those shows were at churches. Now, usually if I'm at a church, I'll change it up a little bit. I'm clean, but I got a couple of jokes that are probably too dark for a church.
Right.
And maybe put in a little church material. So it's probably 80% the same in a church than it would be at a club. But in this case, since I was running my special, it was basically 100%.
Oh, that's great. You ever do, like, hey, what about this Jesus guy? He's got 12 friends.
Yeah.
I got two friends. What's going on there? I mean, so I'm just,
I'll use that.
Don't.
You'll get the vaudeville hook.
I want to hear about your comedy career.
Okay.
Last time I was on, you guys were getting ready to head to Key West.
That's right.
All right. We will talk about that coming up next with Brian Bates. He's got, again, a special at the Lab at Zany's. You can still get tickets for the Sunday night show. Just go to zanies.com and check that out. We'll have more with Brian coming up next from Tennessee Brew Works. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe on this Tuesday at Tennessee Brew Works, 102.5 The Game. Continuing with Brian Bates. He's going to be at Zany's coming up both Sunday and Monday, doing a special on Monday, which is sold out. So that's at the Lab at Zany's. But you can still get tickets, and I think we just sold a couple.
Yeah, there you go. So it's always fun. Walking, the first time you did Zany's, you knew about Zany's, but was it like, oh, my God, I'm on the stage now? What was it like?
Yeah, and I had it was my graduation class for my stand-up comedy class that I took. We did a graduation show. We all got 3 minutes.
Which is an eternity, by
the way. It was an eternity for that time. So Chase Honor said you did 20 in your debuts.
For like five people, but still.
It's okay.
It was.
That's all right.
The funniest thing was, I got up there, and that's when a little bit of the nervousness hit.
Yeah.
And I knew that I needed like a kind of an icebreaker. And so the way the stage was set up, like the audience, the front row was right there at the stage. And so I stand up and I go, just a warning tonight for those of you sitting here in the front row, you might get wet during the show. And then I look at this old guy that just looks like he doesn't want to be there and go, yeah. Especially you, sir. And he kind of like is like, what? And that just kind of
broke the ice.
Broke the ice.
Yeah.
And I just kind of went after it at that point.
But, standing ovation at the end?
For me leaving, yes. No, I thought we all did well. I mean, Dr. Crane did his.
You're sweet to say that.
We're not going
to
talk about that.
You're very sweet to say that, Chase. But
I thought it was fine.
So good. I got heckled, right?
Heckled.
So my thing, Brian, was there's a guy who goes around America and he wears a t-shirt that says the word, it's a stop sign.
Okay.
And he trolls Tesla drivers because the Tesla will read his shirt and they'll stop. They think it's a stop sign. And he goes around, and I'm thinking, who has the time to do this?
Yeah.
Why do you want to do this? An old man in the crowd is a Tesla driver.
Yeah.
I mean, wants to whip my ass, right? And he won't stop to the point where I almost go whip his ass,
yeah.
Right? Because he is yelling at me, and he wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
he hated all of us because of that.
Hated. I'm like, it's just a joke, right?
Wait a minute. I feel like you've left out some. What's the joke?
Exactly. He just goes. My joke was like, who has the time to put on a Tesla?
Oh,
shirt?
You told that on stage.
Yeah, a stop sign shirt to troll Tesla drivers.
Yes.
I mean, who thinks of that?
Yes.
And he's like, I got from Nashville. You can go to hell. And he just starts screaming ass. But he took it too far, right?
Yeah.
To where he was pointing at me and kind of leaning in. And I look, it takes a lot to get me going, right? But when you cross a certain line, then we got something, right?
Yeah.
So I'd never been heckled before. I found it fast. And Chase and Dr. Crane were laughing the whole time. So
yeah.
I don't know if you've ever been heckled. I don't know what to do from that.
It's amazing that I do shows every weekend and never have anything like that. You guys go down to Key West and start a bar fight.
For five,
it's like Roadhouse.
5 minutes. Yeah, and that was it, man. So, and you've never?
I mean, nothing like that.
You, right?
Was he anti-Tesla? And
he drove a Tesla.
He drove a Tesla.
He was mad that Joe was
like
making fun of Teslas.
Oh, but it sounds like you were on his side, though, right?
Thank you.
Because you were saying, who has the time to do that?
Yeah, I mean, true. Like, Sigmund Freud had been like, you know what? I'm good with this one. I'm not. You guys are nuts. I'm
yeah,
out of
yeah,
this.
Yeah, he didn't even listen to what you were saying.
Nothing at all like that. But yeah. It was, you know, you try to get, most of them didn't land.
Yeah.
Right? So you just keep going, right? I mean, we're not experienced at that. We do a dumb 3-hour radio show. We just keep going and going and going.
Yeah.
But that's you versus the world, man.
Yeah, I've really never had anything like that I can remember. I have a video on YouTube where I used to tell this joke years ago, and I'd say, this is when I was single. My friend say, you need to get out there and sow your wild oats. And I'd say, apparently, I don't know how to farm. And there's a little bit more to it.
Right.
One night at Zany's, this guy in the crowd, I say that, and the guy goes, maybe you need a bigger tractor.
Oh, wow.
And it was loud enough that enough people heard it, I couldn't just ignore it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I acknowledged it. I let it people laugh, and then I was like, sir, I would be mad about that, but that's a great line. I'm going to use that. That's fantastic. And
yes.
Yeah, and I posted that video, and it's gotten tons of views, too.
Well, what's your advice to the Joe Dubin and Chase McCabe of the world who are like, I want to get up there and do that? Because like Chase was talking about, once you get up there, it's like, oh, God. What now? What's your advice for those who are thinking about doing this?
There's so much that goes through your head, and even with hecklers, like, it's rare that someone is trying to show you up, like, make you look dumb. You know what I mean? It's usually drunk people who have just had too much drink and think they're helping the show by commenting. But even that, I'm constantly weighing, is it worth stopping my act to address what they're doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a balance. I did a show of the night at Zany's. A woman on the front row right underneath me. Every joke I would say, she would go, stop it. Just stop it. To the point where it was annoying, and I almost stopped to make fun of her.
Yes.
But nobody else – she wasn't saying it loud. So
yeah.
Probably no one else could even hear it except me. So I'm like, I'm not going to stop my act when I'm the only one that even knows – because it would look like I'm picking on her.
Yeah.
Right.
If nobody else even heard her. Now, if it's a drunk – loud person that's annoying me, they're probably going to win everybody in the crowd. So they're usually, the crowd's usually on your side.
Oh, when you do the Opry Saturday, I know at Zany's you have, there's a light, right?
Yeah.
They're like, all right, wrap it up. Yeah. What do you have at Opryland? I mean, at the Grand Ole Opry House.
They have a big clock in the back of the room, and man, it's pressure because they'll tell you. Sometimes they'll change your time if Brad Paisley goes long or something. You know, yeah. They'll say, cut your time from 12 to 8. Or sometimes if somebody goes short, they'll say, do two extra minutes. And right before you go out there, they'll tell you that. And they just have a clock with the actual time on there. So, like, if you're supposed to start at 8:12 and you're doing a 12-minute set, you got to get off at 8:24. You got to do the math in your head. And
So not like the ghost of Grandpa Jones coming about the shoe to hit him or anything like that?
Well, they do have – you don't have to do this, but I choose it, and I think a lot of comics do. There's a – you know, the band stays up there while you're performing.
Oh, yeah.
They just sit there, and the piano guy will give you a key at the one-minute mark when there's 1 minute left. So if you listen on the radio, you'll hear a little ding, ding.
Yeah. Name that tune.
Yeah.
Brian, get off the stage.
Yeah, and that's my cue to wrap it up.
Oh, that's great. Can you do one more segment with us?
Yeah,
okay,
of course.
Okay,
awesome. Good. We will have more with Brian Bates, the very funny Brian Bates. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, live from Tennessee Brew Works on 102.5 The Game. Hour number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. We're live at Tennessee Brew Works and continuing with the very funny Brian Bates, who's going to be at the Lab at Zany's. Coming up on Sunday, which is March 29th, tickets still available for that one. And then on Monday, March the 30th, taping a special that is sold out with Nate Land Presents Brian Bates special taping.
Are you guys still taking obscure, lesser-known museums?
Yeah.
Yes.
I went to one in D.C. It was off the beaten path. It was a family museum. I guess, like, their son had started. It was, what was it called? Smith's son Ian, and
Was it free?
Yeah, the stuff this guy collected was crazy.
Right? Yeah. Right.
That's the kind of Ian.
That's the kind of jokes you'll get Sunday night at Zany's.
Have you been to that Smithsonian?
I have.
I think the most fascinating thing, I think Fonzie's jacket.
Yeah.
Like, there's Betsy Ross's flag and the shoes from Wizard of Oz. I'm like, that's the Fonzie's jacket.
So I went to that in the sixth grade.
Right.
And I immediately gravitated towards Fonzie's jacket. And then, like, right next to it at the time was one of Bill Clinton's saxophones.
Oh, okay.
And he was still president at that point. But, like,
I gravitated toward Jerry Seinfeld's puffy shirt.
Oh, Seinfeld. The puffy shirt.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah. And I think Dorothy's slippers from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. We're in there. And there is Archie Bunker's chair.
Yep.
Was in there. So the pop culture things, I'm like, I love that stuff. Was Magnum's hat or shirt?
Sure.
Or the Detroit hat was in there as well. So, yeah.
I will say, in all seriousness, during COVID, during the height of COVID, when everything shut down, my wife and I drove to West Tennessee to go to. There's like in Alamo, Tennessee, there's like a place where you feed animals from your car.
Oh, yeah, like a little safari trip.
Yeah. Because it was COVID and the world was shut down, it was like a three-hour wait just to even get in the park. Because, you know, you do it from your car. So it was something everybody could do.
Right.
So we're like, we don't want to do that, but we drove all this way. And I Google something else we could do. In Jackson, because it's close to Jackson, Tennessee, there's Rusty's TV and Movie Car Museum. And we went... And Rusty showed us around. He had some pretty cool cars. He had the one of the cars from Breaking Bad, one of Jesse Pinkman's cars.
What?
He had Lee Majors, one of his trucks from Fall Guy.
Get out. And this is in Jackson?
Jackson, Tennessee. Rusty's.
I'm expecting Rusty to look like, remember Indiana Jones and the Lost Crusade when they go to find the Grail?
Yeah.
And that old knight is there, like, he's been there 800 years. Was that Rusty? He's waiting for somebody to come by and see him?
Rusty wasn't as old as I expected, actually, but I think he was just glad to have somebody there. I mean, we were wearing masks. It was that whole, you know.
Did you ask him how he got Jesse Pinkman's car? That's fascinating to me.
Yeah, because I'm like, he could just say this and I wouldn't know it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I could prove it, but I Googled it, and there's like a – I found it. It's true. Like, they buy them at these auctions, these car auctions, you know, and it changes hands. And he just has to decide, is it worth me paying X amount to get people in the door?
Now you got me in the door. This sounds good.
Yeah.
And the Fall Guys truck, get out of here. Lee Majors?
Yeah.
Come on. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, those are some good museums to check out. Brian Bates is with us here on the Chasing Big Joe Show. So after you said the Opry Saturday night and then the specials this weekend, yeah. What are things looking like?
April, I'm on the road. I got one date with Nate Bargatze later in the month. And then summer cranks up. I'm all over the place. I'm in Lexington, Kentucky. In May, I go first time ever. I'm doing Denver and Casper. I'm doing Denver and Greeley, Colorado. And then first time ever in Wyoming, I'm doing two nights in Casper.
Oh, nice. Cool.
I've never been to Wyoming.
It's awesome. I went to Cody, Wyoming when I was in, like, the eighth grade.
Okay.
And they had a little ghost town next to it, which was cool. But it's beautiful. You'll
enjoy it. I look forward to it.
Now, do you write jokes for that area?
Maybe. I mean, I don't. If a city has a big sports team presence, I like to write a joke about the team. Man, I'll do them on Nate shows.
Well, the Titans have made it easy for you the last year.
Yeah.
Well, you did the Cleveland joke. What was that?
Yes, and I repurposed it. I'll tell you about it. So the Cleveland joke, we were at wherever the Cavs play. I forgot the name of that arena. And I said how I love Cleveland so much because as a Christian, the way you guys have opened your doors – to so many NFL quarterbacks. It's Christ-like.
Yes.
Guys that can go anywhere else, and they're like, can I play? Play, you can start.
Crowd went crazy. That was a good one.
And then we did a show in Indianapolis a couple of months ago, and I kind of did the same version. I tweaked it a little bit to say how you guys always have guys I can relate to, like Philip Rivers, who's 70 years old, and yeah. Just trying to get out of the house. I said my favorite quarterback of all time is Anthony Richardson. As far as relatability, the guy – took himself out of the game because he was tired. I'm like, I didn't know you could do that. I said, I'm up here for 8 minutes. But there's a chance I'm going to do this to let you guys know.
Oh, that's great, man. Yeah. Use this joke a while because I hope this turns out better than what happened to Custer. So I think that might have been North Dakota.
It was Montana.
Montana, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There you go.
And say, I don't know where I am out here. Like, get out of here. Oh, that's – let me – I found it fascinating. You'll do, like, the Lab at Zane's, a couple hundred people, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then you'll go with Nate, and there's 18,000.
Yeah.
You ever peek out of the curtain and, like, good God. Because
yeah.
I would.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It almost feels more daunting, it's a weird way, when it's empty. You know, we get there during the day and we walk around and it's, 19,000 seats because the floors, they got it covered too. And it's just all empty seats and you're like, my goodness, there's people going to be everywhere.
Right.
So in some weird way, that's almost more daunting because all the lights are up then. Whereas once the show starts, you know, the lights are down and all the focus is on the middle of the stage.
What's it like at the end? Y'all get on the stage with Nate and you're waving to everybody. Yeah. Is that surreal?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's so cool. And then when we walk back, we kind of go through. It's the closest I'll ever be to Jeff Jarrett, a WWE wrestler, where you're walking down and people are high-fiving
yeah.
and stuff like that.
I love that, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. By the way, we had him on earlier. You got the old school Cats hat on.
I wore it for Jeff and Jeff because this is like 97.
Yeah.
Andy Kelly, Corey Fleming era. Was that one of the first teams in Bridgestone Arena?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think even before the Cats.
Before the Preds.
Before the Preds, yeah, right.
Yeah.
That was an amazing time back. The hot tub and everything that was going on. For those that don't know, you worked many years at Channel 5. What was your job at Channel 5?
I had a few jobs. I started there as an associate producer out of college, and then I worked up to like a line producer, like 6 o'clock, you know, one of the newscasts. And then
so you got coffee for Chris Clark.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
there you go.
Exactly. Actually, I moved to mornings. You did some morning shifts, didn't you?
Good times.
But brutal hours. And I was producing the morning newscast. Because
you got to go in at 11 o'clock at night, right?
Yeah.
Roughly?
Yeah. I think I would go in at – I was either 11 to 8 or 10:30 to 7:30, something like that. And I did a total pivot and moved to the assignment desk. I just wanted better hours and a change. So I worked the assignment desk. I eventually moved over to News Channel 5 Plus and Talk of the Town as the executive director over them.
Look at you.
So when I left Channel 5, it wasn't like I was, you know, scraping by. I was
doing well.
I've been there a long time.
What was the biggest story you remember at Channel 5, breaking news story that was like, oh my gosh?
It was, and I'm sure you feel this way too, I would say 9 of the top 10 were weather related. Mm-hmm. Tornadoes. To me, the biggest was the flood of 2010.
Yep.
And second biggest was that tornado of 98 that came through downtown
right
Nashville.
Through downtown. You know, the 2010 flood, it didn't hit me, and it might have been y'all's camera. I don't remember whose camera had it, of the trailer floating down I-24.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, my God, what's happening?
You know, that was a two-day event because that was the first day. I think it was
Saturday.
Yeah, it was Saturday. And it rained all day, and all that happened. And you're like, wow, what a crazy day, because I was there all day. And then the next day, it just rains all day again.
Yeah.
And it was unprecedented. But most of them are weather-related. I'm sure you guys feel this way, too. You kind of know when someone gives you a calls in with a tip, whether it's probably true or not. And you're like, that sounds too crazy to be true. I was thinking about this other day. Here's the most crazy tip I got, because I was on the assignment desk at Channel 5, so I got all the all the calls. And a guy called in and said, there's been a giant sinkhole in Bowling Green, Kentucky at the Corvette Museum.
Oh, yeah.
And there's like 10 Corvettes that have fallen through, like, on the ground. And I, of course, thanked him for the information. But in my head, I'm like, there's no way.
Right.
That sounds too crazy to be
true.
It was true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember
that. It was wild.
Then they got the video, and you're like, holy cow.
Yeah.
All that was happening.
All these cars just down in the sinkhole.
Were you on the assignment, and I hate to bring this up, the day McNair was murdered?
That was a weekend. It was July 4th.
July 4th.
It was July 4th, so I was off because it was July 4th. And I went in because of it.
Sure.
And I was about to say it was a Saturday because I was home, but now it was July 4th. And then when I heard about it, I couldn't believe it, and I went in to help out with it. And it was crazy because we were obviously downtown Nashville. We were covering the fireworks and stuff anyway. And then I remember a huge storm came through and messed all that up. So it was a crazy day.
Yeah, I just remember trying to call people in. 4th of July was
– Yeah.
I don't remember the next 3-4 days after that because we didn't sleep. I mean, it was like nonstop working. But you're right about the weather events. The tornado of April of 98 was one that – Nobody. Now we're kind of prepared. Like,
yeah. Oh,
that tornado, I don't think anybody was prepared for that coming right down Broadway.
Yeah, I was working the morning news back then. So, again, I was getting off, you know, around 7, 8 a.m. And some tornadoes had come through West Tennessee earlier that day.
Yep.
Like Dixon and stuff. So I'd already felt like I had a full day. Went home around lunchtime, fell asleep. And my mom called me to check on me, and I was mad at her. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Why are you calling? I didn't know about the tornado. I wasn't at the station when the tornado came through.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So then I turned on the news and saw what was going on. I was like, wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's we all lived through those. Yeah. Every city's got good and bad times. Unfortunately, those happened, and it was hopefully never go through it again.
Yeah, the Mid-South Emmy Awards, goes to whoever had the worst strategy in your market.
Right. Isn't that weird winning an Emmy for things like that? It's always weird.
It's like, thank
putting
you.
In, yeah. Thank you for letting me out for your tragedy that happened. I was always – it's always an awkward feeling.
Yeah.
But, again, you had a job to do.
Yes.
I mean, your job is to inform the public. So was mine, and Chase's is now. I mean, that's our job. Public safety information – comes first.
Yes.
Or anything else.
Yes. It's still, you know, I get upset when I hear about people complaining about interrupting their TV show for weather coverage.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, it annoys me.
Thank you. Yeah, because you could, like, the Oscars were all preempted.
Yeah.
The other week for the tornado coming through, and I were people on social, put the Oscars back on. I'm like, never. I love answering the. One time a guy called Channel 4 and was like, I'm going to come down there and whip your ass, da 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 da. And we have caller ID. And I said, is your phone number 731? He's like, yeah, why? I'm like, all right, I'm going to call you back. We'll discuss this. He's like, no, we're good. We're good. I just want you to know that. I'm like, all right, thank you very much.
Did you say, do you drive a Tesla?
Right?
Joe, I'm starting to see a trend here.
Yeah.
Maybe it's you.
Exactly. Oh, that's what my therapist says.
He is Brian Bates, and again, you can see him at the Grand Ole Opry on Saturday and then the Lab at Zanies on Sunday, and his special will be taped at the Lab at Zanies on Monday. Brian, always good to see you. Thanks for doing this, and we will definitely have you on again soon.
Thank you so much. It was so much fun, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian Bates, the very funny Brian Bates, joining us here on the program. We'll have more coming from Tennessee Brew Works on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Yeah.